And welcome to worship here at Romeo United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Devin, and I'm glad to be back with you, worshiping again with you this Sunday. I offer my word of thanks to Naomi. I know she's up doing Leonard this week. I know she did a great job last week, and I know you've all offered your thanks to her, but I do appreciate that she gave me the chance to get away with the family, and I'm glad to be back with you, though. And I have a few announcements to make, and when I say a few, I have a list. So let me get through these here for you as we get going. First, we are going to play putt-putt here this afternoon, mini golf, up at the course here just north of 37 Mile. If you can meet us there at 2 o'clock, we'll be getting checked in all together and paid. If you've already paid, we have you, don't worry. If you haven't, you want to join us, come out, 2 o'clock. It's going to be a beautiful day. And join us for some putt-putt up there and a fun time with everyone. Also, coming up, we have a number of events. September 3rd is Labor Day weekend. It's the Peach Festival, of course. And September 3rd is Sunday night. If you're familiar, the car show comes right down Van Dyke, and that'll be that evening. And then after the car show, we'd like to invite anyone and our families to join us on the lawn, and we're going to be doing a movie night. We're going to be showing Elemental, the Pixar movie that just recently came out. We'll have popcorn and treats, and grab a blanket and join us on the lawn. That'll be that evening, September 3rd. September 10th, we are going to have Rally Day down in the Fellowship Hall. That's kind of our kickoff to the fall events, all of our ministry programs. If you're a leader of any of those ministries, I encourage you to talk to Margie or check the sign-up sheet. We want to have as many tables with all those different activities that we have going on around the church set up. So that will be September 10th. September 17th, we have apple picking at Westview Orchards. There will be a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board if you want to join us for that. But we'll be able to pick apples and enjoy the farm area there on the 17th. And anyone who wants to go to the Thumb Gospel Music Convention, it's this coming Saturday. Sandy said just to check with her after service. They're getting a group around that want to go to that Thumb Gospel Music Convention. And I'm just checking my list. Those are all the ones that I had to make. And one more individual is going to share with us then. So Larry, have at it.
Good morning, everyone. All right, some things that we need for the Peach Festival. We need someone to cook the corn, peppers, and onions. That'd be in the kitchen. Right? We could use a couple of people. We need smoothie makers. We need six. At the booth, we need someone to sell the cheese and chips. We need order takers at the booth. The hot dogs and brats, somebody needs to prep them as we hand them off to the customers. I'm going to cook them, so you don't have to worry about that piece.
Grill master's tickling ready.
And then Monday at 8 o'clock in the morning, we need people to help us husk the corn. So we're all ready with the corn ready to go. And the big one, at the end of the day, when it's all done, somewhere around 5 o'clock or whatever the completion time is, we need all of the help we can get, cleaning up, putting everything away, and so on and so forth. Because by that time of the day, I'm going to be tired, and I'm not going to do it. Jimmy John's, the baseball sign-up. Last I looked down, there's about 11. That's a little light. I was hoping we could do closer to 30, so consider it, please. Remember, kids under 18, we'll cover it. You don't have to worry about that. $12 a piece. And I'm trying to remember. I think that was September 8th, a Friday night was when it is. Okay, and I got one last thing, kind of personal. I have prostate cancer. It's stage 2. What they call grade level 4, which is a little disconcerting. That means it's more aggressive than just quote-unquote normal prostate cancer. Don't know exactly what the prognosis is at this moment and exactly what I'm going to have to do. So when I know, I will share it. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you for your help and leadership with the men's group and everyone who's getting around for the Labor Day food booth. If you've been around for a time, you know that food booth. We do a lot of business. There's a lot of people who come through. The parade comes down the road here. Any help you can offer for those different positions Larry listed, there is a sign up in the fellowship hall. It's in the kind of in the back corner where the men have their board set up. And then the sign up for the baseball is on the board. And of course, the most important one of all those, Larry, we will be praying for you. We are here with you as your church family. We're here to support you through this. So we'll be with you through your battle. But now it's time for us to do what we're here to do, which is to worship our God. And so I'm going to invite you all to join me in that act of worship by singing our opening hymn. We're going to sing hymn number 512, Stand By Me. Will you stand with me as you're able and sing hymn 512? Mm-hmm. Will you pray with me? Lord, if it's you, we need to hear from you. When we are alone, when we go away to pray, when we have little faith, when we feel battered by the waves, when the wind is against us, when we get in the boat. Lord, when we seek you on the mountain, when we cry out in fear, when we start walking on water, and when we begin to sink in that water, when we are far from land, we need to hear your voice. Lord, if it's you, speak to us. Calm our fears, calm our storms, strengthen our resolve, remind us who you are. Walk to us, call to us, save us, we pray. Reach out your hand and catch us, quiet the wind around us. Lord, it is you that we come to worship this day. We come to worship you because truly you are the Son of God. We offer our thanks and praise in your holy name. Amen. You may please be seated. Our first scripture reading for today comes to us from the Psalms. It's Psalm 85. We'll hear verses 8 through 13. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his faithful, to those who turn to him in their hearts. Surely his salvation is at hand for those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him, and will make a path for his steps. This ends our first reading for today. And it's now my distinct pleasure every time I get to say this, that I get to welcome Jenna Hodgkin to come forward, as she's going to be playing our special music for us today. So Jenna, I'm going to invite you forward, and she's going to bless us with her gifts on the piano. Hodgkin. It's only been 3 years I've been saying it wrong. Thank you. Thank you, Jenna, as always, for blessing us with your gift, for helping us feel that music in our very souls. And sorry for mispronouncing your name. It was not quite 3 years ago that I had the privilege of baptizing a beautiful little girl, Vivian Kelly. Of course, that day it looked a little different. If you remember what was happening 3 years ago, we were out on the lawn worshiping and doing those things, but we had a baptism that day. But this day, I get to once again welcome the Kelly family as they're going to be coming forward, and we're going to be baptizing their newest little blessing. So would you please come forward? I'll have you guys turn and look at me. Friends, it is always a beautiful day, a wonderful day in the church when we get to celebrate a baptism, especially a baptism of such a beautiful little girl who can't take her eyes off me, and I'm loving it. We recognize baptism as one of the two sacraments we hold dear, the other being Holy Communion. It is a special day in the life of all who love and follow Jesus. And so we celebrate this day together. And through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift given to us without price. So to those who are gathered, who have come forward with this child today, I ask, on behalf of Christ's church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, answer, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, answer, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, answer, I do. Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, answer, I will. And to all of us gathered here today, I ask these questions. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, answer, we do. Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? If so, answer, we will. And finally, with God's help, will you proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ, surrounding this child with a community of love and forgiveness, that she may grow in her service to others? Will you pray for her, that she may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life? If so, answer, we will. Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. when you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you had promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. On this day, pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and the one who will receive it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. All praise to you, Eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
You come see me? Hi.
Oh my goodness. It's a good day, isn't it? Yeah. So I ask those of you who have come forward, what name is given this child? Kaylee Jennifer. Kaylee Jennifer. I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen. What do you think? Wasn't so bad, was it? Just a little cool? There it is. I don't want to give her back. Okay, I'll give you back. Here you go. I'll go ahead and let you turn around and face the congregation. Kaylee, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Church, will you please welcome the newest baptized member of Christ's Holy Church with me? Standing with Kaylee today are her mother and father, Danielle and Russell, and then Vivian, her proud big sister, is down here, and also godmother Brittany and godfather AJ are with us. Will you welcome them one more time? And we have just a small gift here for you. We place this rock in the water that you can take it and have that as a remembrance of this day, along with the blanket and her certificate there.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You guys take your seat. And this time I'd like to invite any of the other children who are with us that would like to join me on the steps for our time with children.
Hi, buddy. Let's see. What's your name?
Mac.
Mac? I'm glad you're with us, Mac. Hi there.
Well, good morning, boys and girls. How are you guys doing today?
Good. Well, I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you got to come up and spend a little time talking with me. And we just got to witness something that's pretty special.
What did we just witness? Did you hear what I called that? A baptism, that's right. And we baptize people as a way of celebrating God's love and God's grace at work in our lives, that God loves us. And did you see what I used? I know it's a little hard to see from maybe where you're at, but did you guys see what was in this big, that's called a baptismal font? Did you see what was in there? Did you see what I took out of there? What was it? Water. That's right. There's a dish with some water in there. We prayed over the water, and then I took that water, and I put it on Kaylee's head, and she got a little, she shook a little bit. She's looking at me like, don't you do that again. But I used that water, and we used that water to baptize her and celebrate her today. And I was wondering, do you guys have anything else? Anything else you use water for? Can you think of anything else that you use water for?
Watering the flowers.
Absolutely. It gives those flowers life, right? Absolutely. Drinking. We drink water. Who here drinks water sometimes? We all drink water sometimes, right? Yeah. And what does it do? It helps give, it refreshes us and gives us life, right? Yeah, Hazel does too. Yeah, absolutely. Is there anything else we do with water? Anything else you can think of?
Spray the
like your farm or something.
Spray it on your farm? I thought you were going to say maybe spray a friend or a sibling or something, but yeah, we do that too, yeah. Maybe we go swimming in the water, in the pool or a lake or something, and you know, I'd say that gives us life in a different way too. That gives us, that's refreshing, and it gives us energy, and it's something that we enjoy doing, right? And I was just thinking of all those different ways that water is at work in our lives. And, you know, we celebrated a special moment with Kaylee and her family here today, but we have that water, it's all around us. And I just like to remember, as I see the rainfall even, and it refreshes the earth. I know we have a farmer sitting right here who's going to take you back to do Odyssey in a minute. And I know she likes to see the rainfall because what's it do for your crops? It helps them grow. It gives them life. And so all those different ways that water works in our life. And I just think it's one of the wonderful reminders of God's beautiful creation here on the planet, that God made it all work together, that the water feeds and nurtures and provides what we need. And it's just, it's amazing to see God at work in our world through those different things. And so maybe you guys remember, I don't know if we have any rainy days in the forecast this week, but if you see that rainfall, you don't have to be sad about it. You can look at it and remember the celebration that it is. It's a part of God's beautiful creation, a part of the cycle of life that we need here on our planet.
Why did God create snow?
You're going to have to ask him that someday, buddy, all right? It's part of our world, part of our atmosphere, part of how the whole world works, and it's way above my pay grade. I don't know. But sometimes it's fun to go on playing the snow. It's another form of water, isn't it? To go down and sled, maybe, or do something like that? Throw a snowball?
I just don't really like it because it's cold and my gloves always fall off.
It's cold and your gloves fall off. I totally get it, buddy. I understand. Maybe if you find out the answer, you can let me know sometime, all right?
That will probably never happen.
Well, if you figure it out, you can let me know. But I know Mrs. Hill has a fun lesson planned for you guys back there in Odyssey. So before you head, though, let's say a quick word of prayer. Will you guys pray with me? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I give you thanks. I give you thanks for each of these young voices, for their presence in our worship service, for the chance we have to be together, for the chance we have to baptize and celebrate one of these children, for the blessing all of these children are in our lives. Lord, we thank you for that water, that it does so many things in our world, so many things in our lives, that it is an intricate part of your plan for us. And Lord, we want to remember that, and we want to be thankful for that all the days that we live. So help us to remember your love, help us to share that love with others, for we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, thank you guys for coming up. Thanks. You're welcome to see Mrs. Hill's heading there for the door. You can follow her back to Odyssey if you'd like to, or you're welcome to return to your seats if you want to go sit with your families. Thanks for coming, guys. We take this time in worship to celebrate those joys. We've just seen a few of those joys, celebrating a baptism, seeing those children on our steps. Those are joys that we celebrate, to be sure. We take this time to share others, as well as concerns and prayer needs that we have in our lives and the lives of others. And I have a few to share here this morning. First, I just wanted to recognize the beautiful altar flowers that are up here with us today. We say thank you to Judy for providing those and helping us celebrate in our time of worship here today. Judy Howard donated those for today. And since I wasn't here last week and I missed the email last week, it came in last Saturday after I left for vacation and I didn't see it, but I have to share this joy because it's one of celebration. Bev and Dave Lee were blessed on August 12th with the birth of their first great-grandchild. And her name is Lily Beverly Burkhart. Am I saying that right? I got that one? All right. She was 7 pounds, 13 ounces, and the proud great-grandparents just want to give thanks to the Lord for her safe delivery and the precious gift. And I got a chance to talk to Bev. She said they got to visit with her a few days ago and that she is just beautiful, which I can't imagine a great-grandma saying anything else. But we celebrate that with you, Bev. I also have a prayer request from Connie Zemke. She's asking for prayers for her sister, Sherry. She was admitted to the ICU with serious lung problems. Connie has traveled to be with her, so prayers for Sherry, for healing and strength as they take care of her, and for safe travels for Connie. And I have one that I have to share with us because it's on the live chat, and I have to say, good morning, Debbie. And you might all guess Debbie wanted to share with us that the Tigers won. So we're glad to have you join us this way, Debbie. Those were the ones that I had that were shared with me before service. Nathan and Phil have the microphones there. If you have something you want to share, please raise a hand. We'll be happy to.
Good morning. Last week we got to listen to Naomi talk to us in her message about the power of God through music over the years. And I could certainly feel the presence of God when Jenna was playing this morning. It was beautiful, just beautiful. So thank you, Jenna.
Thank you, Jenna. Sometimes the Spirit works together from a message one week to the playing the next. So we are thankful for that. Thank you, Guy. Are there others?
Continue prayer for Beth Eisen.
Continue prayers for Beth, of course.
And Connie Chapman.
I wanted to give an update. Thank you for everyone's prayers last week. The surgery was a success. The surgeons were able to get the tumor out completely, but it left a big void, and the brain is swelling a little bit to fill that up, and it's normal, they say, and she's probably going to need physical therapy. She's a little down right now, so I want a prayer for continued healing for Connie. She's still, the tumor was on the left side, so her right side is affected, and she's still not able to use the right side of her body very well, but we're just hoping and praying that it comes back. I'm sure it will. It has to. Thank you.
Absolutely.
For your prayers.
Thank you, Mary Jo. We continue to keep Connie in our prayers for her healing and recovery.
Also, pray for Doug Forsgren. He had surgery last Thursday on his eye, and then they took off the patch a couple days later, and it was bleeding, so it didn't go quite as well as they hoped. So he still needs some prayers for his vision.
Thank you, Dave. Yes, prayers for Doug as he had his eye surgery and whatever they need to do to continue to improve that for him. Thank you.
Hi. Some prayers for the students going back to college. Dropped Lila off yesterday, so a little extra prayer for all of those kids going back. And then some joys. We have some family members from out of town that joined us today. And then also some real prayers for people that live on Maui. My best friend lives there. She wasn't affected, but it's very bad, and just some extra prayers for them.
Absolutely. Definitely keep our college students in prayer as those they head back, as proud parents drop them off for another year. Glad to have friends visiting, and definitely prayers for Maui. I know it was shared in the grapevine. If you're looking for a way to help or support, UMCOR does have a division set up to help in Maui already. You can give to them through umcor.org, UMCOR.org. And all donations go straight to those who are in need. So if you would like to contribute in that way, you can as well.
First of all, I'd like to just say what a pleasure it is to be back in my church. Back on July 4th, I was involved in a really bad accident. I won't go into great details, but I wasn't supposed to survive. I had two operations, and the second operation, they couldn't find where it was bleeding internally. And my wife was planning a funeral for me. So you don't know what it is to be back here with my family. First of all, I want to praise God, because without him, I wouldn't be here. Secondly, I wouldn't be here without you, all the prayers that came from you. Some of my friends who live throughout the United States also put me on a prayer war website where over 2,000 people were praying for me. God heard that, and he blessed me. I don't know why I'm this sinful man, but he has something for me to do. I don't know what it is. But, I just praise God every day when I get up that I'm still here with all of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. It is so good to see you. So good to see you back in the pews with us, and we continue to keep you in prayer that everything heals and goes according to the need and plan.
I'd like to ask for prayers for my brother, Al, who is going in Tuesday in Traverse City for open heart surgery for blockages on one side, another blockage on the other. So we'd appreciate prayers for a full recovery and wisdom and understanding for the doctors and nurses attending him. Also, I looked up and saw Serve the Lord up there, and it's been up there, but for some reason today it just really hit me. I've been trying to teach that to my grandsons, and it actually says, Serve the Lord with gladness. Psalm 100, verse 2, is how we do it. And they're getting it slowly, but what a great verse. And also to remember all our military, our men and women who are serving so many places around the world. Just asking for not only their own safety, but also for wisdom and understanding for those in charge over them, for our president and all who serve. Thank you.
Absolutely, Jenny. Thank you. We will keep your brother in our prayers. And absolutely, always, as always, prayers for our servicemen and women. Thank you.
I would like to have prayers for my grandson, Billy. He was on his way down to the Woodward Dream Cruise, and he has a bike, and it had slid out from underneath him, and he was in the hospital. He is now back home, but it's either the knee or the leg in some areas have been broken. So he's in quite a bit of pain right now, but we hope to get some answers in a couple of days.
Prayers for Billy for healing and for answers to what is needed for him. We're keeping our prayers. Thank you, Joyce. Are there any others this morning? Well, then I invite us to take these that we've heard, the joys and celebrations that we have lifted up, but also those needs that have been shared, needs for ourselves, for loved ones. Let us take a moment and pray to God in silent prayer. Father God, as the summer days continue to move by, our attention turns toward the busyness that lies before us, what lies ahead of us. We begin to think about all that is coming, those teachers and children and students preparing for that new school year, a return of cooler temperatures, all the things that will vie for our time, vie for our calendar space. Lord, there are so many things that can loom on the horizon that often our focus is solely on them. So be with us, loving God. Remind us of where we need to place our focus. To place our focus on Jesus, who calls us to trust in his mercy and his care. Keep the needs of others in our hearts and in our minds. Needs for healing, for comfort, for friendship. Help us to reach out to them and offer our gifts and service in your name. Here today we have named those dear ones with our voices and some of us in our hearts to you. And as you have loved and healed us, so we ask your healing mercies on those whom we have named. We ask your guidance and your patience to be with us as we continue our faith journeys. Walk with us, encourage us, teach us, pick us up when we fall. Loving God, we are thankful to know you, thankful to be in relationship with you, and together we join our voices in thanks as we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to once again stand if you're able to sing our next hymn. It's number 474, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Will you stand with me as we sing together? Thank you. You may please be seated. As you are, we take a moment to once again give thanks to God in this time of worship, to give thanks for the mission and ministry that is possible because of our congregation, because of this church, the service we are able to offer to the community around us and the world beyond. I give thanks to each of you for your continued participation in that through your offerings and your tithes. We do have our offering box located on the wall next to the organ here if you wish to leave a gift here today. And of course, we have our online giving also available at romeoumc.com if you wish to give in that way. But as such, let me offer a word of thanks, a word of prayer for our collection here today. Forgiving God, the first offering you ask for us is the giving of ourselves, loving you and loving others boldly, refusing to let our fear of the storms around us keep us from taking risks. Forgive us for the times when you have called us to leave our places of comfort and we've ignored that call. Forgive us when our giving has not grown beyond our safety zone, but you blessed our gifts and us anyway. For those times when we dared to put our foot outside the boat and then sank up to our knees, thank you for not taking your hand away from us. For all this, we give thanks in the holy name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Our second scripture reading for today comes to us from Matthew. It's Matthew chapter 14. We'll hear verses 22 through 33. Jesus walks on the water. Immediately, he made the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of God for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. How many of you have ever spent an afternoon, an evening, a day, whatever it might be, trying to teach a child how to do something? I find it really ironic that that's the opening line of my... Not quite yet. I find it ironic that that's the opening line because Dave's sitting in the sound booth right now trying to teach my son how to run the slides. He's teaching someone something today. And as you might have guessed, I have a fair amount of experience with this over the past 10 or so years. Teaching them to ride a bike, to plant a garden, to cook in the kitchen, use a tool, play a sport, whatever it might be, those times of teaching, of showing them how to do things. And it normally goes through a similar trajectory. Give them the instructions on how to do it. Expect that they heard every word of it and understood every word of it the first time. Watch them attempt it. Watch it go terribly wrong. And then go back to the beginning and start over with instructions, and the whole process begins again. Because sometimes it takes patience. It takes a little understanding. Sometimes it leaves you wanting to bang your head against the wall as you try to give them those instructions, try to teach them. But then there are also those times that just make you smile. The times when they say something, when they do something that just make you laugh out loud. The times when those kids, that they can be adorable and make you love them all over again. And I have a video that started to play, we're going to watch it here in a second, of a little boy and his mother and her experience trying to teach him how to golf. So let's go ahead and watch that together this morning.
Gonna fetch your golfing?
Yeah.
Yeah? How far are you gonna hit it?
Away up there.
Away up there?
Yeah.
Right. So you got to stand straight, hold your club proper. And then remember, look, you got to keep, remember, keep your eye on the ball, okay? Right, go. What are you doing?
I thought you said keep my eye on the ball.
I did, but I just went, keep watching. No, you're just too fun.
I thought you said keep your eye on the ball. He was just doing what he was told, right? Keep your eye on the ball. We're thankful he took that so literally because it does give us that moment to laugh, to chuckle at his response. But you know, when we stop and think about it, the Bible contains a fair number of times, a good number of times, where we hear a similar sentiment. Keep your eye on the ball. The metaphorical, keep your eye on the ball. It's a familiar theme that we hear throughout the New Testament. Paul tells us to keep our eye on the prize. That is the call of Jesus Christ our Lord. The writer of Hebrews tells the people to keep their eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of our faith. Throughout the Bible, it would seem that keeping your eyes on Jesus is a pretty smart thing to do. And even in our scripture this week, that appears to be the case, doesn't it? In this familiar story that we've heard, we're told that it's only when Peter looks away, when he looks at the wind and the waves, that he begins to sink into the water. And then again, and it's only when he reaches up and takes Jesus' hand, when he puts his eyes on Jesus again, that he's pulled out of those winds and waves, pulled back to safety. Keep your eye on the ball. Keep your focus on Jesus. It wouldn't take a whole lot of biblical study or research to come to the conclusion that keeping focused on Jesus is a good way to walk, whether you're walking on land or on water. So I'm not going to argue that we're better off to do anything than to keep our eyes on Jesus. I too truly believe that. But, there's always a but in there, isn't there? Always. But looking at this passage, as I read through it, as I read it again and again, it left me with another question that was just nagging. It left me with another possibility for us to consider. And that question was, did Jesus really need Peter to get out of the boat? Did Jesus want Peter to get out of the boat? As the disciples pushed off from the shore, we're told Jesus sent them on their way. Jesus was going to get a little bit of alone time, a little bit of that quiet he'd been seeking. But did Jesus already know the challenge that the disciples would soon face? Was this to be a teaching opportunity, a learning opportunity for the disciples? Was it a test? Did the disciples pass? Did Peter pass? So many questions, so many things we can look at in this passage. Yet the one that continues to stick in my mind was, did Jesus want Peter to get out of that boat? And I realized in writing that down and looking at that, that maybe you could argue that perhaps I'm just justifying my own cowardice because maybe I wouldn't have had the courage to step foot out of that boat, to stand up and walk on the water like Peter did. And that might be a fair assessment. I don't know if I could have done what Peter did. What he did took faith. I won't argue that. But I still have to wonder, was Jesus really asking Peter? Does Jesus still ask us to get out of the boat and walk on the water? And just to be clear, I'm well aware that we're told in many places in the Bible that we can do mighty works in Jesus' name. And I recognize that we shouldn't shy away from doing difficult tasks because we are given the power of the Holy Spirit. We have that power within us. And I recognize that there is work the Lord needs doing and that, yes, we are the ones called to do that difficult work. And finally, yes, I will acknowledge that the unexplainable happens in our world. It happens around us all the time. Things I have seen, things I have encountered, experiences I've had, things I've heard from some of you and from others. There's only one response to some of those amazing things that happen in our lives, and that is to give thanks and praise to God. All of that is certainly true. Yet I still find myself asking, is Jesus really asking us to walk on the water. Because as I said at the beginning of the story, Jesus had sent them away, put them on a boat, and sent them off ahead of him, is how the scripture reads. There wasn't really much discussion on how they were going to reconnect, how or when Jesus was going to catch back up with them. It wasn't like there was just a train running he could catch back to town. He couldn't call an Uber to get him into town. There wasn't a ferry across the Sea of Galilee. There wasn't really any discussion of how he was going to gather with them again, just that he had sent them ahead of him. They were sent ahead. One of the commentaries I was reading on this passage really focused on that passage, focused on it because it's the author of that commentary believed this offers us another layer to the story, a layer beyond just the obvious story, beyond the scene that we see playing out. This is a tale of a church, of a young church, that had been sent out ahead without the physical presence of Christ, sent out on their own. And this church would have been the exact environment in which Matthew was writing this gospel. This is where Matthew was living at this time when this was written down. He was recalling and retelling those in that young church about his experiences, about his journey with Jesus. And that audience, that young church that Matthew was writing to, they were adrift on the sea. On a sea of persecution with storms and winds and waves battering them from all sides. They were struggling. They were confused. They faced hostility from all corners. They had opposition everywhere they went. That young church was probably wondering, how can we possibly make it to the other side without Jesus in the boat with us? Because they no longer had Jesus physically with them. And things were getting difficult. And the funny thing is, we aren't all that different from that early church. Even if we're not quite as young as we once were, we still struggle and are at times confused. We still face hostility. We still face opposition in our world. We still wonder, how are we going to make it to the other side on our own? How can we do this without Jesus here with us? And that's why I believe that commentator wrote that there's a story beyond the story here. The layers of the story are so important still for us. Because even as they were on that boat, even as they were being tossed and they thought all was lost, those disciples, they did fail. I asked if this was a test. They failed because as they struggled, they didn't once call out to the one person they knew could help them. They had seen what Jesus could do. They knew what Jesus was capable of. But in their time of fear and doubt, they didn't reach out for him. Rather, they let the fear and doubt overtake them. Perhaps they thought, we left Jesus behind. There's nothing he can do for us now. We're on our own. But it's as they're in that despair, as they're in that moment that they see that figure walking across the water, through the storm, through the wind, through the waves. The silhouette approaches them, and their only response is, it's a ghost! What other reasonable explanation could it be? A ghost is coming to capsize our boat, to attack us, to do who knows what they thought that ghost's intention were. But that's all they can muster is to scream about a ghost coming out after them. But it's at this moment, when they're at their deepest, darkest place, when all seems lost, when they're convinced they're on their own, that Jesus speaks. Jesus speaks and says, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Jesus speaks, just as he has so many times before, into people's lives to offer encouragement and hope and promise. He speaks to remind them, I am with you. Even when you don't think I am, even when you can't see me, even when you don't feel that presence, I am here. And that's actually what then took me back to that initial question, the question I posed a little earlier. Did Jesus want Peter to get up and walk out of that boat? And I ask that because of how this plays out. I ask that because of Peter's response. Peter isn't sure of what he's witnessing. Even as he's watched Jesus walk, even as he's heard Jesus speak, he wants proof. He needs proof. He needs to step on the waves for himself. He needs to walk as Jesus has on the water. He needs that in order to conquer his own fear and his own doubt. And nothing in this passage leads me to believe that Jesus needed Peter to get out of the boat. Peter getting out isn't necessary for Jesus to prove who he was, to prove what he was capable of. Jesus isn't trying to make a point to the disciples that they can do incredible things like he does. It was Peter's desire, Peter's doubt, that leads to him stepping foot out of that boat. And we know what happens next. Jesus says to him, "All right then, come. Step out of that boat. If this is what you need, if this is what will help, get out of the boat and come to me." And Peter does. He gets out of the boat. He steps onto the water and he walks. He walks to Jesus. It had to be a magnificent moment. I'm sure it's one that left the other disciples breathless, left them speechless, even as they were being tossed in those waves. But then Peter remembered. He remembered where he was. He remembered, he saw, he looked to the wind and the waves, the water beneath him. He remembered those doubts and those fears that he had. And he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he sank into that water. Fear and the doubt, they flooded over him just as the water did, leaving him buried underneath them. But it's at this moment that Peter does the one thing the disciples had failed to do prior to this. It's as he sinks into the waves that he cries out to Jesus. He cries out to his Lord and Savior, "Help me, rescue me, save me, please." And Jesus does what Jesus does. He reaches his hand down into the water. He grabs a hold of Peter and he pulls him. He pulls him out of the water. He pulls him out of his fear and doubt to safety. And then we're told, as they're back safely in that boat, that Jesus asks a question. And it's that question that is the basis for the question we've been trying to address here today. Jesus asks, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And we could easily look at that as a reference to Peter sinking in the water. That makes sense. That was when he seemed to lose his faith, when he doubted, when he sank. But I also wonder, what if Peter's little faith, this doubt that Jesus is referring to, actually has to do with Peter's request to get out of the boat and walk on the water in the first place? Because did Jesus want Peter to get out of the boat? Did Jesus need him to get out of the boat? Or did Jesus need Peter and the other disciples to have faith and to trust? They were the foundation of what he was trying to build. Throughout his entire ministry, his entire time on this planet, he was preparing them to be the church, to lead the church, preparing them for the time when they would no longer have him with them. He was preparing them to lead and to teach and to witness, preparing them to go before him and spread the good news. And Jesus put them all together in that boat because he knew that not one of them could do it on their own. They were going to need each other if they were going to succeed. They were going to be tossed by the wind and the waves. The world was going to come after them. And if they were going to be his church, if they were going to lead his church, they were going to need each other. Jesus needed them to know, needed them to learn, needed them to recognize that the greatest act of faith was for the disciples to trust in his guidance, to trust in his presence, even when, or perhaps especially when, they weren't by his side, when he was no longer physically with them. And I believe that is what is still true of us, each and every one of us, as followers of Jesus Christ today. We have been placed together in this boat, in the church, by Jesus Christ. We have been charged with taking the word out to the world. We have been called to trust in Jesus' presence even when we don't feel it. Even when we can't see it, we are called to trust that Jesus is there. Don't get me wrong. I would like to walk on the water sometimes. I would like to do those impossible things to show others what is possible when we have faith in God. To do the impossible. But sometimes, maybe most of the time, that's not what Jesus is asking us to do. Jesus is asking us to get in the boat and set sail and to do it together. to prepare the way for the Lord, to make straight paths before God. Jesus is asking us to ride out the storms together, trusting and knowing that He is with us in all times and all places, that we need not be afraid. My friends, when those winds, the waves, the water, when they start battering you down, when it feels like all hope is lost, have faith and remember those words of Jesus, the words He spoke to the disciples, the words He spoke to so many over the generations. Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the captain of this boat. He is the one we follow, the one we worship, the one we celebrate. We are called to have faith and trust. Trust that when the wind and the waves come, they will not overtake us, that Jesus will guide us through to the other side. Thanks be to our captain, our teacher, our friend, and our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
So let's all stand, if you're able, for our last song.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know You are near. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, who then shall I fear? Who then shall I fear? Oh no, You never let go, through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, You never let go, every high and every low. Oh no, You never let go, Lord, You never let go of me.
I can see a light that is coming from the heart that holds on, a glorious light beyond all compare. And there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, we'll live to know You here on the earth. I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. If my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, You never let go, through the calm, through the storm. Oh no, You never let go, every high and every low. Oh no, You never let go, Lord, You never let go of me. So I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. There will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise You, still I will praise You. Yes, I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. There will be an end to troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise You, still I will praise You. Oh no, You never let go, through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, You
you never let go. And every high and every low, oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. Through the storm, oh no, you never let go. Every high and every low, oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. Lord, you never let go of me. Lord, you never let go of me.
Beloved family of Christ, the journey is not over. The seeking has only just begun. Yet through it all and in it all, God is with us. May we go today trusting that we are found in God, and may we live so that God is found in us. Go with God's blessing. Amen.